Gentlemen's Guide. All right, what's going on? What's going on, people? This is your boy, B. Barnes. This is the Gentleman's Guide podcast, where we seek to unpack manhood one day at a time from the black male perspective. Given all that's going on in 2020, I feel like it's imperative, it's very important to start this new year off with some sense of motivation in spite of all that's happened, right? So with that said, today I brought on a guest that not only is he family, he's my cousin, but he's one of the most hype guys I've ever met in my life. He's full of energy. My cousin, Larry Long Jr. What's going on, man?
Come on now, B squared. Man, you're making me blush. What up, cuz? I'm just happy to be here. Gentleman's Guide. This is an honor, a privilege, a blessing be up in here with you. Thank you.
I appreciate that. You caught my eye specifically because, like I said, I've been looking for different people to come on the podcast and just offer different perspectives, right? Now, I know, you know, you have a history in sports just like I do. You played a Division I athlete at University of Maryland.
Go Terps. Yeah, man. Baseball for the Terps. My father ran track there. My sister ran track there. I was the black sheep of the fam playing baseball. I said, hey, you run after you hit the ball. They said, all right, we'll let it.
Hey, I think that's a good lesson for anybody watching or listening right now is no matter what you've been around your whole life, it's very important for you to find your own path and go for what you think is right for you.
So true. You got to find your why. You got to find your purpose. Mm-hmm. And so many people are on a path that's not authentic to them. Mm-hmm. And they're living a life that's not fulfilling. And I've been there before. Mm-hmm. But I just encourage anyone out there that's listening to really find that real you and that real path.
Talking about more of your history and, you know, sports, and more specifically talking about, you know, being a Division I athlete, which, like I said, I have had the privilege of doing that myself, playing football at NC State. Go Pack, right? And you guys were in the ACC, but you're not anymore. So, you know, used to be a pretty big rivalry, at least in the football, right? From your history playing sports, how did playing Division I level sport, how did that shape you as a man? How did that help you in your adult life?
Oh, it's been huge in terms of teaching, goal setting, dealing with adversity, dealing with different types of people, and doing it at a high level. You think about it, Division I, you're one step away from being professional. Yeah. And it is somewhat like a profession. So it's helped me drastically. I've taken all the lessons from me, the baseball diamond. I know you, the football field. Right. I've taken those lessons into the boardroom, setting goals, being confident in my abilities. I would say being coachable, also grinding. I'll never forget, my parents bought me a solo hitter and they said, hey, you got to do your homework, practice your clarinet for 30 minutes and take 100 swings off the solo hitter. Mm-hmm. Getting those reps in, that's something that your average person just doesn't do. They're just not wired that way to get in reps. And I don't know if Allen Iverson's out there, but yes, Allen, we're talking about practice.
Practice?
Not the game, practice.
Not practice. I think, man, those some very wise nuggets for somebody. You can tell you've been through the gauntlet. You're preaching what you've done, right? Like you understand from a certain perspective of practice, putting yourself in a position to be better every day. If you could recall one memory from playing baseball, like what would it be? Or I guess the overall nugget that you would take. And I know you said practice. I know you talked about just embracing competition. What would you take from just being at that level?
The biggest lesson learned, and really I can't just give you one, but I'll say it's a combination of teamwork, which makes the dream work. And it really does. Some people are like, team. Yeah, your teammates, the people that you surround yourself with, the ability to come together as one unit is so important in life. And in baseball, you've got 9 players out there that better be on the same page or you're going to have a tough time. The next one is dealing with adversity. So yes, we were in the ACC at the time. We were the farthest north team and we were terrible. Oh, ACC schools used to lick their chops when Maryland came to town. So we used to get some butt whoopings, but hey, you take it and you go back and you work and you try your best. And it's kind of like my man, Tony Horton at P90X says, you try your best and you forget the rest, because that's life. You're going to strike out in life. You're going to strike out in business. I'm in sales. You're going to strike out a lot. Mm-hmm. But if you let that one strikeout impact your next at bat, your next opportunity, oh, you're done for it. It's like, hey, I know that for y'all, next play, that play is over. We got to keep it moving. And really in this time when we're in quarantine, when we're going through a pandemic, it's one of those things where you've got to be mentally tough. You've got to have that toughness inside of you. And you got to say, kind of like my theme song, ain't no stopping me now. Mm-hmm. McFadden and Whitehead said it best. If you listen to the words of that song, it's so inspirational. But my baseball journey, it was filled with ups and downs. And through the downs, you got to keep that happy medium. You got to keep that confidence. I'll never forget, I started off my career 1-for-24. It doesn't take a math major. No, that's terrible. That'll get you left out. Hey, coach, can I get in? Nah, you're left out. But my dad, I started doubting myself. Dad, I don't belong in Division I. I don't belong in the ACC. And he threw that phone, snatched me up and said, boy, that's not how I raised you. That's not how we roll. You got my name. You're Larry Long Jr. You ain't going to be representing me. Like, he had some choice words for me. I went back to the drawing board. I started believing in myself. And it's one of those things where once you believe in yourself, the sky's the limit.
You know what? It's funny that you mentioned that, because I want to kind of unpack the whole imposter syndrome. And I feel like at some point in anyone's life, that's something that most of us go through, whether you're an athlete or not, or you're in a competitive field or whatever. I remember my story when I first got to state, and it was a big change up from playing, you know, 2A football in a small town in North Carolina, right? Like, it was a huge change up in the level, the speed. It was just a huge learning curve. And immediately I felt like I didn't belong. But it, like you said, it's all about pushing yourself past what you think. Don't let yourself be your biggest, or what's the poem called? Or what's the, basically, like, you're scared of your potential.
And Brandon, I'm going through it right now. I'm building a motivation, inspiration, sales, professional speaking business, mm-hmm. coaching business. And there's that voice in the back of my mind that's saying, Larry, don't do it. You're not good enough. You're not worthy. You've already had a failed business. Mm-hmm. Don't do that to your family. And then my dad, rest in peace, yeah. He's coming down and he's saying, boy, little Larry, I didn't raise you that way. You better trust and believe in yourself. Yeah. I got you. And it's so comforting to know that that I'm blessed, and God's plan is God's plan. Right. Now it's up to me to execute on it and to be courageous in it. There's a difference between confidence and courageous. I'm confident. Mm-hmm. But I'm not courageous all the time. So I'm working on it. That's an everyday struggle. And it's one of those things that once you get success, I know for me, once I got that first little blue base hit, I was like, Kanye West, you can't tell me nothing. I'm an all-star. Uh-huh. So it's one of those things where that belief, I mean, it's Henry Ford. He has a quote where he says, whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, mm-hmm. you're right. And that's so true.
Yeah. Another one that comes to mind, I don't remember who said it, but having courage is the presence of fear, but yet the will to keep going or to go on past that fear.
That's it.
You know, I always wonder about you, because obviously with the sports background and your height, you're a high energy guy. Have you ever thought about coaching in any other, you know, in sports, any level at all?
I would love to. I used to own a baseball academy. That's why I moved down here.
Okay.
And after a year and a half, we had to close our doors. You were in college at the time.
That's crazy.
You were in college, I'm pretty sure. But I love impacting. And that's my goal. I'm very intentional. In 2021, my goal is to have a positive impact on 1,000 individuals. And I'm keeping score. We play sports, so we know about keeping score. I'm keeping score of those 1,000 individuals that I can impact for the positive. Now, I love helping kids. Mm-hmm. Love helping kids. Right now, my focus is really on student athletes that are transitioning, mm-hmm. sales professionals, and business owners. I think that I can really have a great impact on them with what they're trying to accomplish in life. And that gives me energy. So yes, coaching, but off the field. Gotcha. And eventually I'll work my way. I want to own a sports academy, mm-hmm. where I can impact all kids in all sports, volleyball, football, basketball, baseball, you name it.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. All right. Before we go any further, I want you to, drop your social.
Oh, I love it. So LinkedIn is where, that's my jam. That's where I live. That's my sandbox. Uh-huh. Larry Long Jr. You, You'll see a smile for a mile. You'll see a face for radio, but we get it in and whatever I can do to help you. I'm now on Clubhouse. I run a little Friday, positivity on a Friday, every Friday at 6:30 Eastern time. I'm on YouTube, Larry Long Jr. I've got my midweek, midday motivational minute every Wednesday at 12 o'clock Eastern time. I'm a little bit on the gram. I haven't quite mastered that. I'm a little bit on Twitter, Larry Long Jr. I'm still trying to figure that thing out. But really, I rock and roll on LinkedIn and Clubhouse.
Now, I wonder, like I said, you being a high energy guy and you being a motivational speaker, sales, I would call you a sales guru, right? You're so busy trying to motivate others. But how does Larry Long Jr. stay motivated?
Every day. My wife and my two kids, that's all the motivation that I need. Every night, we hop on the phone, we do this HQ trivia with my mom, my sister joins every now and then, and then just the memory of my father. He passed that baton. He was a track guy. So it stick, he passed that baton to me. And he said, boy, you pass that thing along. So I'm on a mission. I'm a man on a mission. And I go through life. Life is a four-letter word. I go through life just like everyone else, the ups and the downs. Mm-hmm. But essentially, I control what I can control. And I can only control, I use the acronym EAT. I can control my emotions, my actions, and my attitude, and how I treat other people. And whatever comes at me, it comes at me. I can't control necessarily all that, but how I react to it, how I roll with the punches. And when bad stuff happens, we're going through some bad stuff right now. But if it wasn't the pandemic, we'd be going through something else that was bad. Yeah. Essentially, all you can do is control those factors that are in your control. So I try to stay focused on that. I try to surround myself with positive people. There's a saying, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Mm-hmm. So I'm not spending time with negative Nancy's, negative Nellies. I try to limit how much news I watch because that'll get you in a bad mood for seven straight days. Yeah. And I just try to fill myself. I love YouTube. I watch a lot of Eric Thomas, Tony Robbins, Jim Rohn, David Goggins. Okay. My man, David Goggins is intense. But there's so much. If you go on YouTube, you watch one positive video, they know the algorithm. They say, if you like this, you'll probably like that. So I love just getting into that zone. And now Clubhouse, I'll be honest with you. I'm learning from people that I never would have learned from on Clubhouse. I like that as a sandbox where you can just learn. I was listening to Damon John from the Shark Tank. Imagine that. Gary Vaynerchuk, Grant Cardone, MC Hammer, the MC Hammer, who I looked up to. Yeah. I went to his concert. I'm listening to MC Hammer just spitting game about business. So I'm just a voracious learner. I'm a servant leader. And I'm always just looking for opportunities to learn, to live, and to love.
The Gentleman's Guide, I want to say a few months ago, and this was right in the middle of, I guess, the peak of everything happening socially, politically in the country. And we had a come to Jesus meeting with me and my brothers and a couple other guys that we know, really just asking the question, how are you as a black man, as a, you know, African-American man in America, living in America right now, how are you? And I'm gonna ask you that same question. How have you coped with everything that we've gone through within, at the very least within the last year, a lot more, but you know.
Yeah. So I'll be honest with you. It's a tale of two halves because, and I get from my dad, I put the armor on, but really in the back of my mind and really in the back of my heart, there's a lot of pain. And it's a coping mechanism that I put the pain in the back. I put it in a little box in the back, never to be open. And when everything happened with George Floyd, that box came open. Yeah. It was a good exercise. It was a painful exercise. What we're going through right now is what we've always been going through. I've been blessed for 42 years on this earth. Yes. And this isn't anything brand new. Not for me. Right. Maybe for others out there. So to answer your question, I'm hanging in there. I'm making the best of the situation, which is all we can do. But I'd be lying if I said it's all sunshine, rainbows, and as my little seven-year-old daughter says, unicorns, because it's not. We're going through some stuff, which the recent actions that we've seen on TV just shows you that things are not equal. People still don't view Black people as humans and as people, and that's a shame. I mean, it really brings a tear to my eye, but my coping mechanism, because I can go to a dark place real quick if I dwell on it. And I just pray. I pray that things will change so that when my son and daughter grow up, I mean, they're 11 and 7, that the world will experience change. And I think we're getting there, but we're still having the same conversation that my parents were having and my grandparents were having back in the 50s. Yeah. We've been going through this for way too long, which it's mind-boggling. Yeah. It doesn't make any daggone sense.
I agree. I think for me, again, it's like kind of what you mentioned, it's a kind of a two-way street where you got hope. You have hope that things are going to get better. And you want to believe the time that, you know, you have, as at least for me, like I'm coming into myself as a man and as an adult, as a father, as a husband, et cetera. And I find myself being more politically engaged, that sort of thing. And I really want to believe that, you know, my little contribution to the world can make a difference. Like I want to. And then on the flip side, it's like you said, it's like a little voice in the back of your head, like, man, what is the gentleman's guide? Or like, what purpose does this have? Does it change anybody's life? You know, like you have these thoughts in the back of your mind. And I think for me, having my family as a support system, having my wife who supports me daily, who constantly, you know, speaks life into me, a faith in God, like all of these things, it gets you through. It gets you through. And I think, I can't remember where I read this, but I think it was a blog post that's somebody that I knew through somebody else. But basically he was talking about that the most radical thing that a black man can do is raise his children. That's the most, right. You know what I mean? Like it's crazy to think about it, but that's at the very least, if you're a father, like be a father, be there for your kids and help them understand, you know, what we're dealing with and how we can make the world better. You know what I mean?
So true. You're spot on. And I'll share with you that what you're doing with the Gentleman's Guide, what you're doing in the community, it is making a difference. My brother, Morgan J. Ingram out of Atlanta, when I first started my journey of going on video with my midweek, midday motivational minute, I was nervous. And he said, hey, I'm going to pass this along. My mentor shared this with me. If you don't go on video, you're being selfish, because all it takes is one person that you're going to impact to make it well worth it all. So what you're doing, no matter how you feel about it, you're impacting at least one person. I would say you're impacting the masses, and that makes a difference. There's a saying, the little things mean so much. And this isn't little. This is actually a big thing that means even more. But just you amplifying your voice, amplifying other voices, I applaud you, Brandon, and I encourage you to keep that up, because we need more of that. There's a saying, you can't be what you can't see. And by you being seen and by you being heard, I give you the gold mic award. You're doing the daggone thing. So keep that up.
Man, I appreciate that. I think it's very important for us, for black men to speak life and to encourage one another, right? Because it's too often that we see examples, or at least through the media, you know, you see portrayals of what a black man is. And I think for me, the overall purpose of the Gentleman's Guide, obviously to share different perspectives, you know, from the black male perspective, but to show the world that we are not a monolith, right? Like we're not a monolith. We don't come, you know, in one shape, one size, one color. Like we're all different and we all contribute to the culture.
And there's so much excellence across the board, mm-hmm. across the board, across industries. And so many folks don't see that. And so many folks, if you can't see it, you can't believe it. Yeah. So I love what you're doing and totally agree.
Now, to kind of switch gears, but not too much. Right before the interview, I looked up. I was like, okay, what's the unemployment rate right now? From what I saw, over 10 million people are currently unemployed in the country. What do you say to people out there who are currently unemployed and feel discouraged? Because I know I felt discouraged for a while. Thank God for my wife, because she pulled me through. But for a while, I was like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I don't know what I'm gonna do. And it's crazy because there's so many people looking for jobs. So like the market is just flooded now. So what would you say to the people who are still, you know, looking for work?
Now, number one, chin up. Keep your head to the sky and realize that there's light at the end of the tunnel. It might not seem like it when you're going through the turbulence, you're going through the chaos. I've been there before. It ain't like I've been there before. Failed business. Bank account on negative. It's like, ooh, Mr. Long, we didn't know you could go that far negative. you're coming for withdrawal. Brother, please, you better make some deposits. Yeah. So chin up, and it's time to go to work. And by work, I mean, let's put together the plan. Get some pen and get a piece of paper and map out your plan. I've been there before. Mm-hmm. I drove Uber. I drove Lyft.
Hey, you and me both.
I found odd jobs to make ends meet, barely make ends meet, but I was also working on my plan. And then once I got that game plan, now it's game time. You got to execute. You got to run the plays. And you got to run them with confidence. I encourage you, don't go with timidness. And I know a lot easier said than done. I know that. But essentially, you got to manufacture that confidence. Kevin Hart says it. Say it with your chest. You got to manufacture that belief that, yes, you can. And I'm telling you, if no one else tells you, I'm telling you that, yes, you can. You are good enough. And it is a crowded job market. There's a lot of folks that are in the same position. Really identify what your goals are, what your why is. Why is it that you want to do what you want to do? What's your purpose? As well as who are those supporting actors that can help you? Don't be afraid to ask for help. That was one of my biggest challenges. The ego kicked in. Mm-hmm. I don't want to put so-and-so out. I don't want to bother so. No, people want to help. But if you don't let them know, you better ask somebody. Yep. If you don't let them know, they don't know how they can help. So I encourage you to leverage your resources, have a squad that's there for you. And if you don't have it, find it, because they're out there. And I'll be the first to tell you, Larry Long Jr., find me on LinkedIn, send me a message. I'll do whatever I can. And this is documented. This is on audio. Hey, Larry, you told me you would do whatever you could to help me. Go ahead and call me. I guarantee you I'll help you out. For people that are employed, I encourage you to explore multiple revenue streams. And I don't know what that means for you, mm-hmm. but find other ways to create opportunity to make revenue. Mm-hmm. Because whenever you work for someone else, you're at their beck and call, you're at their whims in terms of whether you're employed or not. Yeah. So if you can have something for yourself that you're in control of, it certainly allows for you to kind of loosen. It's like diversifying what they say. You should diversify your stock options. Right. You should diversify your revenue streams and not have all your eggs in one basket. Yep. If I can help you with that, let me know, because I'm working on my side gig now. Mm-hmm. My company laid off 28 of my colleagues. And that was a wake up call that, hey, at any time, I could get that pink slip in my locker. Yep. I could get that call where they say, hey, Larry, thank you for coming out. God bless you and good night. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord splits you. And that's never a good feeling. So it's like, hey, I'm going to control what I can control. Mm-hmm. They got to do them. I got to do me. I got to make sure that my family is taken care of and that I'm able to do what I need to do. And it's tough. If it was easy, everyone would be doing it, but you can do it.
Going into, your entrepreneurship as a motivational speaker, coaching, all of those things, so far, what has been the biggest learning curve for you?
Yeah, so Brandon, I'll be honest with you. I've been doing this for years. I just never charged anyone. There you go. So really, it's going from hobby, which I talked to a coach who said, yeah, when you want to turn your little hobby into a real business, let me know. When it's a real business, it's serious. When people are shelling out money, mm-hmm. it ain't a game. And I like to have fun, but what I'm learning is the business of it. And it's, you can be a great speaker, but if you can't market yourself, if you can't make sure that people can find you and they know what makes you different from every other speaker that's out there, you're not going to have success. I was on a mastermind group just this morning with speakers that look like you and I, a great supportive group. And they talked about how your keynote is the commercial. But essentially, you've got to have other revenue streams, whether it's a training class, whether it's a book. I'm working on publishing a book. Don't tell nobody else. My online on-demand sales training class is about to come out. Yeah. And that's something that can sell while I'm sleeping. So I'm trying to build the blocks. I'm trying to learn from the others out there to have something and have products that can really leave a legacy and set my family up for a long-term success, that even when I'm not here, because we're all running to that race. We don't know when that finish line is, but when my finish line comes, just to make sure that my family's in a better place than we were before. So that's what I'm working on. And I'm learning every single day something from someone or an experience. So I encourage everyone every day, make sure you're learning, you're living, and you're loving. I know Jim, I think it was Jim Valvano. He had his great speech where he talked about the emotions that everyone should feel each and every day. You should cry. You should laugh. I truly believe that. That's what life is all about.
Was there a point in time where you just a stay-at-home dad? I know for me, I've been a stay-at-home dad during the pandemic. And let me tell you, I have a profound respect for stay-at-home parents, because just because you're not employed doesn't mean you ain't got a job.
You're working hard. I've had glimpses of being home with the kids, and I'll be honest with you, I got fired as the principal of the Long Academy. Being that the kids are learning from home, my wife said, nah, no bueno. I mean, it just, I tried, but my kids, they were on their iPads all day. She said, you know, they got class. I said, whoops. So it is definitely hard work. And it's hard work making sure that to raise kids that are well adjusted. There's so many distractions. Yeah. There's so much stuff that's out there. And I know every generation says back in my day, but back in my day, we didn't have social media. We didn't have this TikTok. We didn't have everything that was documented online. And if you make a mistake, that thing never disappears. Never. As a parent who cares, my responsibility is really to set my son and my daughter up for success, short term and long term.
But there's somewhere in the Bible, I'm paraphrasing, it says a wise man leaves an inheritance for his children, right?
That's right.
So going back to, you know, the purpose of this podcast, I told my wife when I first started this, I said, yes, I'm doing this to really hold myself accountable and then to give my perspective on manhood or what is life as a Black man in America, but also to leave these little nuggets and to have guys like you on the podcast leaving these nuggets of wisdom so my sons can watch this, you know, when they're becoming a man, like they can watch this at any point in their life. And whether I'm here or not, they're going to see this video, listen to the podcast. This is part, obviously, like being financially stable and understanding how to invest your money and real estate, that sort of thing. That's a whole another conversation. But I think I mentioned on another video I was on with one of my friends, we had it was like a sort of a dating conversation. And I was talking about, you don't have to have kids to leave an inheritance, right? Like, how do you, like you said, how do you impact those around you? That's your legacy. You don't have to physically pass down your genes. You can touch people in many different ways. And you've seen that with, you know, a Nipsey Hussle. You've seen that with a Kobe Bryant. You've seen how these people touched a multiple generations of people. And they had their own kids, yes, but their legacy is going to live on through so many different avenues, and we will never know. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's right. So true. Yeah. So true. And if you focus on doing the right thing, it all works out. But I love what you said in terms of leaving that legacy for your sons that will always be there as a guide, as a Sherpa to help them along their path.
I don't want to hold you, man. I don't want to hold you. I feel like this has been a great conversation. I really wanted to bring you on here to bring some energy, some motivation for the people out there who are going through, man, because you never know what somebody's going through and you never know how that impacts, you know, somebody else's life, right? So I really appreciate you. Thank you for taking the time out to come to the Gentleman's Guide. You're always welcome back. Anything, you got anything else? Any other thoughts you want to throw out there? Any shout outs, anything?
First, I want to say thank you for hosting me and bringing me on. That means so much. And for all your listeners out there, take a look in that mirror and say to yourself, when I was 6 years old, my mom, we used to say our prayer at night, and my mom used to make me say 10 times, I am somebody, because I struggled. I used to get teased in school and I doubted whether I was worthy. And she said, I am somebody. And when you say that 10 times, I'm not a math major, but 365 days, that's a whole lot of times that you're saying it. Yeah. You start to believe that you are somebody. So I just encourage your listeners, something they can do when you go to bed, say your prayer and then say, I am somebody 10 times and say it loud and proud and believe it. And you believe it, it will become true. There's no denying it. And I believe that you are somebody and you can make it happen. Is it going to be easy? Heck to the nah. I'd be lying if I said it would. Nothing worth having is easy. But can you do it? 1,000%. So I just appreciate you allowing me to come on here, cuz. And shoot, I hope to be back.
Definitely something that we can have in the works in the future, man. But like I said, I really appreciate you taking out the time. That's a wrap, man. Everybody out there listening, you can go follow the Gentleman's Guide at Gentleman's Guide 919 on IG, Facebook. Find us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, everywhere. Go subscribe, everything. So appreciate you guys. Until next time.